clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Happy Tuesday to everybody. I'm in a really good humor today for some reason. I guess because the dogs and I got up this morning and we left the house about 5:45 in the Ranger and took off across the river, went through three gates, went over there to move the side row I got going on, a little 23-acre field over there. I dusted in last week with a mixture of high gear and brown millet. Make me some late season hay, and got it dusted in and got a 1.2 inches of rain on it Friday night or Saturday morning, whichever you want to say, and I got it sprayed and started the irrigation yesterday, and it was up this morning, and I put her pretty thick. I think it was like 28 pounds to the acre. I think you're only supposed to put about 15 down, but since I got a little water there, I doubled up on it. Crop might not get very tall, but I'll bet it'll be thick and lush if I can just keep the irrigation up on it. But anyways, put me in a good humor this morning, and the dogs had a blast. Zoe, my hunting dog, she's always hunting no matter what. She's 9 years old and still thinks she's two. And Sister, our farm dog that I got off Gary Ripito, she is a serious dog. She will kill anything from a ladybug to Bigfoot if it gets in front of her, but she loves human beings. So anyway, it was a fun morning, and they enjoyed it. It was nice and cool for the dogs out. So anyway, it was a good time. Let's check out the weather currently at the Elk City Mesonet. It's 96 degrees. Heat index is at 97. The winds are out of the southwest at 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 27. Here at the Gabe Gadget Mesonet, it's 95 degrees with 33% humidity, and we only got about 5-10 mile an hour wind here at the radio station, but I'm sure the building blocked some of that out. Let's see what's happening around our area as far as temperatures in our listening area. She looks like she's warm. Nobody's in the triple digits yet, but it's 12 o'clock. Somebody's going to be in the triple digits before the show's over. Looks like we have a three-way tie for the hottest. Altus, Mangum, and Hollis. 99 degrees. Shamrock's 94. Wheeler's at 95. Hobart, down there in Kiowa County, is at 98. And up north, not much cooler, but a little bit. It's 94 degrees at Arnett, home of the world-famous Lori Campbell. And 96 degrees at Camargo. 97 and 97 at Weatherford and Clinton, so it's just warm, and it's going to be that way for a while. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the show. Well, if you're watching on Facebook, you can see what hat I'm wearing. Today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour, and I'll talk about Dr. Mouse and her bunch down there at the vet clinic here shortly. Let's get on with the grain markets. Let's see what's happening in the futures. And let me refresh. I'll bring this up way early. There we go. It's up to date, 12 o'clock. Corn futures, September 598. Everything's in the red today except soybean meal, FYI. Even oil is, no, oil's in the green now. But September is 598, December 602, March is 609. May is 613. Soybean futures, August is 1593. September 1430. November is 1402. January is 1409. And March next year is 1408. Soybean meal, 492.50 a short ton for August. September 437.90. October 408.80. Soybean oil, August 64 cents even a pound. September 6307, October 6332. Hard red winter wheat is down about 14 cents. September, 8.52. December is 8.59. Oats is at 4.25 for September. December is 4.26. And cotton's at just a fraction of a penny over one buck, $1 even. And see, I found out where that pivot of sugar cane is down there at Burdale High. Now, I don't know if he's full of it or what, but I seen the famous Bill Dance this morning at the famous round table at the Southbound store this morning. And he said it's somewhere in the Delhi area that he's got this pivot of sugar cane. And he's still in the red today. It's under 18 cents, so he's losing money. But anyway, that's what you get for planting sugar cane in western Oklahoma. And you guys know I'm kidding about this sugar cane, right? Nobody in their right mind try to grow sugar cane out here. Well, let's check out the cash grain prices at the elevators in Oklahoma and Texas this morning on the average. Hard red winter wheat cash price is at $7.94 a bushel. Corn is at $7.35. Milo's at $6.28. And soybeans is at $14.69. Well, let's see what's happening around the world, including the United States, what's going on with our grains and everything else. Soybeans and grains were lower in overnight trading as crop conditions were better than expected. 60% of the U.S. soybean crop was rated good or excellent as of Sunday. That's up from 59% a week earlier, according to the Department of Agriculture. Analysts polled by Rutgers were expected 58% to earn top ratings. 44% of beans were setting pods. That's up from 26% a week earlier, but behind the prior five-year average of 51%. Some 79% were blooming, and that was up from 64% and the average of 80% for this time of the year. About 61% of corn was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week, unchanged week to week, but ahead of what the analysts forecast was at 60%. 26% was in the dough stage, double the previous week, but still behind the normal 31%. 80% was silking, up from 62% last week and down from the normal 85%, the government said. 70% of the spring wheat in the U.S. earned top ratings, up from 68% a week earlier and ahead of the forecast compiled by Rutgers for 67%. The crop was almost entirely headed at the beginning of the week, according to the USDA. The winter wheat harvest rolls on, putting downward pressure on prices with 82% in the bin as of Sunday, up from 77% a week earlier and just behind the 85% average for this time of the year. A cargo ship, the first load of Ukrainian grain under agreement allowing agriculture products through a naval blockade in the Black Sea, was scheduled to leave the port of Odessa last night and anchor in Turkey later today. And I think it did leave. I seen it unhooking on a video this morning. Now, whether it's made it through the minefields so far, who knows? Another call between Russia and Turkey is reporting being planned for later this week, at a deal must be renewed every 4 months. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 11 cents to $13.95 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $3.80 to $403.10 a short ton, while soybean futures on oil declined 1.76 cents to 61.5 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery dropped 8 cents to $6.01 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery plunged 17.5 cents to 7.82 and 3 quarter cents a bushel. In Chicago, while Kansas City futures lost 18.5 cents to $8.48 a bushel. Inspections of corns and beans for corn and beans for overseas delivery rose in the 7 days that ended on July 28, while assessments declined, according to the USDA. Corn inspections rose 856,938 metric tons last week. That's up from about 750,000 tons a week earlier. The total is still well below the 1.47 million tons assessed during the same week last year. examinations of soybeans and for offshore delivery improved to 550,000 tons, metric tons, from 392,000 tons the previous week, and above the 185,000 tons that were inspected at the same point last year. Wheat inspections, meanwhile, declined to 256,601 metric tons from 475,000 tons the week earlier than that, and it was 405,000 tons last year at the same time. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 51.9 million metric tons of corn for export. That's down from 63.1 million tons during the same time frame a year earlier. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 53.6 million metric tons, and that's down from 58.4 million metric tons the same period last year. Last but not least, wheat inspections since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st are at 2.85 million metric tons. That's behind the 3.79 million metric tons examined for offshore delivery at the same time in 2021. Another heat wave is parked over the United States, mainly the central and southern plains, with heat advisories and red flag warnings stretching from northern South Dakota into eastern Arkansas, according to the National Weather Service. In west central Nebraska, heat indexes are forecast as high as 103 degrees. A red flag warning indicating extremely dry conditions also is in place for the area starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon and running through 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. Wind gusts will be up to 50 miles an hour and the humidity will be extremely low. Scattered thunderstorms will develop this afternoon and tonight, with most of them being dry. You can't have a thunderstorm and it be dry. I guess you can. But anyway, the expected lightning with little rain should increase the number of wildfire starts. In most of Iowa, heat indexes are forecast from 100 to 105. Those working outside are advised to be aware of symptoms and health issues. So anyway, be aware of all that stuff going on. Take care of your animals. Check your waters. Even your dogs at the house. Make sure that they are in an area where they can get shade. I found that when we have to leave during the day, there's a spot over there where my water hydrant leaks sometimes from the water hose, and I've noticed that the grass and stuff are really matted down around it, so the dogs like laying in that cool deal in the shade. So anyway, make sure your animals are taken care of, no matter whether it's a dog, cow, horse, whatever it might be. Check your water. Fresh water is a must, and just be cool with them. When I get back, we're going to talk about cattle futures, and I got some results from the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma livestock auctions. I even had a little chit chat with Brandon this morning. I've got a lot of questions about what's going on with the cattle market right now. It's like, for example, as far as slaughter cattle, you know, it dropped down there for about 2 or 3 weeks after the 4th of July. Now it's come back up. So I quizzed him a little bit about that, and I got an answer for you when I come back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 1st. 2,238 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 383 brought 202. 5 at 677 brought 157. 9 at 685 brought 174.50. 16 at 849 brought 163. 14 at 905 brought 164. 4 head of heifers at 439 brought 186. 7 at 539 brought 162. 12 at 638 brought 167.50. 6 at 833 brought 152. 101 out of 1,006 brought 146. Butcher cows were 11 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 110. Pairs brought 850 to 1225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hollis, Oklahoma, heart of the Harmon County. You just hit triple digits. You're at 100. Currently at the Elk City Mezzanette, we have 97 degrees. Heat index is at 98. Humidity has dropped to 31%. The winds are out of the southwest, 20 miles an hour, with wind gusts up to 29 miles an hour. And I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up to you later on in the show. All right, let's go to the cattle market and see what's happening. Everything's in the red today, but not terrible. Feeder cattle are down quite a bit, but live cattle are just right below the break-even mark there, of course, what they started out at. Live cattle for August, 136.50. October's 141.97. December, 148.17. February, 152.52. Feeder cattle for August, 178.07. Feeder cattle for September, 181.55. Lean hogs, August, 120.02. October, 96.05. And December is 87.55. All right, here's what we had going on last Friday in Elk City, according to Mr. Brandon Hickey. They had 1,430 head on hand, and looks like the steers, we got some 329 weights, brought 218, some 419s, 214, 480s, 172, 481s, 181, and then some 493s weighing. At 493 is 196. We had some 506 cutter bulls, 170. Some more cutter bulls that weighed right at 600 pounds at 161.50. Some 616 weights brought 173.50. Some 771 ones brought $1.66. And some 830s brought 167. On the heifer side, 419s bringing a $1.83. Some 462s, 169.50, some 493s, 155, 563s, 158, 693s, 158.50, and some 876 brought 146.50. On butcher cows, they were bringing up to $96 per hundred weight. Butcher bulls were bringing up 115 per hundred weight. Bred cows up to $1,200 and pairs up to $1,475. Now, yesterday, I know you guys just heard some of it, but I'm going to go over it so you can kind of compare it to what they was bringing at Elk City. We had some 460s over there at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction was bringing $203. On the steer side, 585s bringing $1.74. We had 26 head that weighed 670 brought $1.60. We had 13 head weighing 708, $1.60. We had some 60 head that weighed 745, 172.50. 849 is $1.63. Some 9 weights brought anywhere from 164 to 169.75. On the heifer side, we had some 464s brought $1.75. 536 is 168. 589, 167. 638, 167.50. And then there's some 630s, a big group of 45 head brought $1.72. 833s, $1.52. And then they had some 1,000 pound heifers brought $1.46. And looks like they had some slaughter cows and bulls in there, bringing the cows up there, bringing over there, 86. Bulls were bringing $1.10. They had some pairs bringing up to $12.25. So the question I get asked a lot of is, you know, why were the slaughter cows doing so well, and then after July 4th, they went down? Well, you got to compare everything. And I talked to Mr. Brandon Hickey this morning. He was busy when I called, but he gave me a minute to explain his explanation, and another guy had another explanation just like it. Well, as you know, around the 4th of July, the heat waves hit really hard, harder than they had been, and the grass started going backwards. And so people were calling the herds, and the packers got all they needed, or were getting all they needed, so the price was dropping. And, you know, about 2 weeks ago, they were dropping down in the 60s and 70 cents range on slaughter cows after being almost a dollar for a month or better. They've been really good, actually, ever since April. And anyway, so the drought, everybody's calling. And as Brandon explained to me this morning, you know, then we got some rain last week, and some areas got some rain the week before. So everybody slowed down on the calling, and the packers are now needing to catch up on what there hasn't been a lot of selling going on. Because I don't remember which weeks it was, but Brandon said, you know, he was selling 800, 900 head of slaughtered cows at the sale barn in Elk City one Friday, and then all of a sudden the next Friday we got rain and we're down to 400 head. And so the packers got a chance to get caught up, and now they're here we go again. So the prices are going back up again. But these, if we don't get any more rain in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, prices will start going back down. We'll be going backwards. So everybody had a little hope. And as he explained, and another gentleman explained to me that's a friend of mine that farms over around in the Roger Mills area, what you get into now is, you know, pretty much everybody probably has already called what they thought were call cattle. And if the grass deal and the drought continues on, people are going to start getting rid of some cows that they didn't want to. So that's the bad thing about what's getting ready to happen. But as farmers and ranchers are known, we're all survivors, and we got to do what we got to do and start all over again next go around. So that's it, what I got on the cattle. And when I come back afterwards, I got some stuff on today's Heyday Tuesday. As always, I got some stuff on the hay prices, and hay prices are not getting any cheaper. And as again, I will suggest to anybody on the text line, the KCO Ag text line is 580-225-9697. If you know of any hay for sale, whether it's close or far away, please text it in to me, and I can give it out to some of our listeners, because there's a lot of people looking for hay. And if they don't find hay, you know, they're going to be visiting the sale barn more than likely. So anyway, if you can help out anybody, don't be bashful. Well, today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cap Hour on my show every Tuesday. As always, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features a pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt gate on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital X-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And I stopped by there yesterday to pay my bill on my dog, and they all looked like they had 4 or 5 days off, and they all looked recharged. They look recharged. I think Taylor said she had to go to Stillwater and do some tests and stuff. You know, even though she had 8 years of college, they still got to test her every now and then to make sure she's as sharp as she thinks she is. No, just kidding. She's a pretty sharp gal. Anyway, so they look like they're recharged and ready to go. Anyway, when I come back, we will talk more about cattle and crops. And hey, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying into the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau Agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that. I understand it. I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. And my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow. And watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Ninety-eight degrees here at Elk City. Let's see if anybody besides Hollis is in the triple digit so far since the show started. Oh yeah, Altus, Mangum, Tipton, no, Granville, Hollis, and actually Wellington, Texas. You guys are all in the triple digit. Hollis is leading the race at 101, but Kingfisher is at 102. So they're the hot spot in the state now. They bypassed Hollis like NASCAR, you'll never believe. Anyway, we've got the Hoover Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the deal. I seen on Facebook last night, Randy posted it on our KCO Facebook page that Hoover Farm and Garden has got a deal. They got deals running on ammunition, guns, whether it's shotgun, rifles, pistols. So anyway, if you're looking for something and you want to, they got a great selection. And I can tell you right now, they are Browning lovers. And they'll deal with you down there. So just go down there and see the gentlemen down there. They're a really very nice bunch of guys to work with. All right, so some of my adventures this morning. First of all, I stopped at Southbound over at Sayre. I usually stop in there looking for a story for the show, and I got one. I'm not going to say any names. I don't want him mad at me, but there was a gentleman come in there after I sat down and was talking to my neighbor, Kent, and he looked like he'd had a, and I don't remember his exact age. He might be 70, 74. He looks 60, but he's on up there in his age. But anyway, he looked like he'd had a rough night at the house. And so he was quizzed about that, and come find out he had a nightmare. And his nightmare was that he woke up forgetting to turn in his final term papers at the end of the semester while he was going to high school. And so this guy's in his 70s, all right? So he must have had a really bad teacher or a mean teacher, because it woke him up. It was a nightmare. So anyway, so you never know what you're going to hear at the round table at any of the coffee shops where the farmers go in to get their morning wake-up juice. So anyway, it was pretty funny. But also, if you follow KCO on their Facebook page, which I hope you do, I stopped by two different places and took pictures and posted on our Facebook, letting you guys know that, like, out west of town by Hutch's West Side here in Elk City, this lady had vegetables. Her tomatoes sold out like in 5 minutes. I mean, they were gone. But she had lots of beautiful cucumbers and squash and zucchinis. And she also had some, she told me she was going to have some black-eyed peas coming up. I don't know either it'll be this week or next week anyway, because mine are really getting after it now. My black-eyed peas are getting after it. But she had homemade bread in there. She had pumpkin bread and whatever else bread was in there. Salsa. She had chow chow. She had all kind of salsa, hot, medium, mild. She had it going on. And I posted that on my Facebook page, and I posted a deal. She had a bulletin board of what all she had there. So anyway, then I come driving through town on my way to Midwest Farms to get a hydraulic fitting from a skid loader that I messed up chopping some trees down the other day down on the river. And lo and behold, right there at the dugout, there's a trailer full of watermelons. They had red diamonds, they had yellow diamonds, had cantaloupes. I don't know what all they had, but anyway, they had it going on, and it was a great selection. I surprised my wife. I got her a red seedless one, and she'll be happy when I get home tonight with that one. And I also bought me a cantaloupe. So anyway, it's all good going there. So there's all kinds of things going on. And if there's something going on in your town that you want me to announce as far as vegetable stands or fruit stands, all you got to do is text in 580-225-9697, and I will be glad to announce it. Because I think coming up Thursday at both Hobart and Clinton, they will have their farm markets going on. So that'll be happening. Well, as you know, today is Tuesday, and it's hay day. So let's check out what's going on with the prices around the country, see who's the highest, and see what the states around Oklahoma, including Oklahoma, of hay prices are going that are reported to the USDA. Let's see. Looks like California, even Texas, New Mexico, and I don't see any in Arizona this week. They are our highest, $365 to $475 on premium alfalfa, $350 to $460 and on good, so it don't matter. You're going to pay for whatever alfalfa you want in California. According to our neighbors in Kansas, premium alfalfa selling for $220 to $300 a ton. Good alfalfa in Kansas is $180 to $280. Missouri, $175 to $275 on premium. $120 to $180 on good. Oklahoma, $200 to $300, and they got a D by the 300, so it must have been delivered. Nothing available on good alfalfa. Texas, $280 to $450 delivered on premium alfalfa, $260 to $280 delivered on good alfalfa. And, yeah, Washington, the state of Washington, $400 a ton on premium, and then over here in this other category, and it doesn't have a D by it, even good alfalfa selling anywhere from $365 to $400. Grass hay prices, according to the USDA, looks like Oregon and California, they're paying up to $500 a ton in Oregon, and there wasn't a delivery sign by that $500. So in Oregon, grass hay is off the charts. Texas is $200 to $330 a ton. Oklahoma is $160 for premium, $150 to $160. And for you listeners that don't understand this USDA chart, this is only reporting what was reported to them. But I know of a lot of grass hay that's running up to $200 to $220 a ton right now. And it's good hay, and it's fertilized, and it's rolled up good. But that's just... not report it. You don't have to report it. Missouri's $140 a ton for a premium, and then we got Kansas up to $185 a ton for a premium. And then that's your hay report, price report for the week. All right, what else we got here? Let me check this out real quick. Pondering on high-priced potassium. As we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic shut down world economies for extended periods and continue to have a long tail. Ramping back up hasn't been easy, as evidenced by production challenges of goods and services, labor shortages, transportation bottlenecks, and inflation. Then, of course, there was the war, and still is a war, in Ukraine. Through it all, we have watched the price of farm inputs skyrocketing. Potash, for example, remains at well over $800 a ton. When will that price point come down? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But I do know that alfalfa doesn't care. Without adequate soil potassium levels, alfalfa will not perform to most producers' expectations. It may still look somewhat green from the road, but yields and persistence will suffer. I've seen too many potassium-deficient alfalfa fields in my life to predict otherwise. Every crop species has its own unique characteristics. Like a lot of people, you have to take the good with the bad. And like me, sometimes I got to take it with the ugly. Anyway, unfortunately, alfalfa is a very heavy user of potassium, removing about 55 pounds of potassium per ton. When you break out that and start doing the math for our current situation, the bottom line isn't particularly heartwarming. If potash 006062 is biting at $850 a ton, that equates to about $23 per dry matter ton of alfalfa harvested, or $115 an acre for a 5 tons total season yield. Ouch, that's a lot. I suspect that many alfalfa growers may have cut back or eliminated potash applications in 2022 unless they had the fertilizer prepaid last year before the price boom. Pumping the brakes on potash applications is a reasonable response, especially if soil tests indicate already high levels. But such a strategy can't be employed long term, as both soil potassium concentrations and yields will crash. Although alfalfa is always a heavy potassium user whenever it's grown, not all regions play by the same set of rules. As with most everything in food production, we are dealing with the biological systems. For example, I talked with an alfalfa grower in Idaho several years ago who put little to no potash on his fields. The same was true for his neighbors. The parent mineral material of his soils was already rich in potassium and seemed to hold soil levels in a steady state. Well, lucky them. With the economic stakes so high, having a good set of soil tests to guide your potassium fertilizer strategy has never been more critical than it is right now. Both over and under application will be costly in the short term. as we have going on here in the eastern Texas Panhandle and the western Oklahoma. We have a drought going on, and we got high inputs going on at the same time. Even with irrigation, alfalfa, it does okay, and it does good, but there's that rainfall, that 1 inch of rain, or that 2 inches of rain, makes a world of difference in what your crop looks like. If soil test levels are below the optimal line, a plant tissue test, which is vastly underutilized in our industry, is a surefire approach to confirm the nutrient status of the crop. While working as an extension agronomist, I use plant tissue tests frequently to deal with field issues. Plant tissue tests rarely fail to pinpoint an underlying problem, or in some cases confirm nutrient adequacy. They're just Dennis Hanlock, a former University of Georgia forage specialist and current USDA Dairy Forage Research Center director, used to preach his seven keys to profitable alfalfa production. Four of the seven keys involve something to do with applying adequate potassium. So you get this point on it. Yes, the price of potash is at record high levels, but so is the value of forage. Cutting back on potash applications might be a prudent short-term decision on some fields or farms, but this strategy won't be sustainable in the mid to long-term average. Yields of alfalfa will deteriorate rapidly if potassium deficiencies persist. So there is your alfalfa tip of the week. So anyway, when I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast and more to end the show today. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 29th. 1,430 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 250 brought 218. 12 at 480 brought 172. 9 at 587 brought 165.50. 7 at 617 brought 158. 17 at 830 brought 167. 5 head of heifers at 423 brought 166.50. 11 at 455 brought 175.50. 4 at 476 brought 176. 6 at 495 brought 165. 7 at 876 brought 146.50. Butcher cows were 12 to 96. Butcher bulls brought 64 to 115. Bred cows were 750 to 1200. Pairs brought 850 to 1475. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, down there at Hollis, they must be loving me right now, because I was talking about them winning the hot temperature there for a while. Now they're down to 99. I don't know if they're getting, I can't see outside. I don't know if they're getting cloud cover or what's going on out there, but they've dropped 2 degrees since I told them they won the pot. Anyway, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Currently at the Elk City Mesonet, we got 98 degrees, 99 is the heat index, and on the Gabe Gadget Mesonet, we got 95.9 degrees here at the station. Today, hot, 101. Tomorrow, hot, 102. Thursday, hot, 101. Friday, 101. Saturday, hot, 100 degrees. So anyway, I guess they took the rain chances we had. I've seen a couple of stations this morning still got us in for a chance of rain tomorrow evening and Thursday. So my guess is we're going to have a pop-up cotton shower, as my old boss used to call it, somewhere in Oklahoma tomorrow evening or Thursday morning. So hopefully it happens right over your place. Well, speaking of one of my listeners from around Arnett just text in, and it's 101 on the river bridge there at Pack Saddle. Man, that makes me homesick. I want to go to the Pack Saddle bar and get me some calf fries and a cold brewski. But anyway, it ain't gonna happen today. Got too much going on. Anyway, thanks for texting that in to me. And then what we got is, while I'm touching on alfalfa, is as you can see, no matter what you're doing with alfalfa, irrigating, putting fertilizer down, equipment, repairs, all that stuff. So when you call somebody and they tell you they want $300 a ton for their alfalfa or $150 to $200 for a round bale of it, don't get sassy with them. There's a reason. They're not taking advantage of the situation. They're making a living just like anybody else. And I want you to just keep that in mind with respect to these people that put up a lot of hay. It doesn't even have to be alfalfa. It can be grass and all that. They got to do what they got to do. And you, last year, bales were running anywhere from $80 to $100, and they're double that this year. So it is what it is. And just letting you know, keep respect to all your alfalfa and hay growers, period. If they're not taking advantage of you. And they're, tell you what, go out there and buy you 20 acres of land, put your side row on it like I got on it, put all your chemicals down, all your fertilizer, get you some of that alfalfa seed that costs no telling what, and go bail for, and then I get this listener, oh, got some hay for sale here. He's got four bales of straw for $300 a bale. Now that's taking advantage of the market. Is that all your land made this year was four bales of straw? Anyway, just be respectful to your farmers and ranchers, whoever's putting up your hay, and be done with it. It'll go on. All right, let's move on. So, speaking of alfalfa, we've talked about it before, and I want to remind people again. Oklahoma producers, especially those in the northeastern part of the state, should watch out for blister beetles. Need to watch out for them out here, too, in their alfalfa this summer. If a horse eats a blister bug when snacking on alfalfa hay, the consequences can be very deadly. The one we really need to worry about is the striped blister beetle, says Kelly Sauls, Oklahoma State University Extension alfalfa specialist. They have the highest concentration of that poison in them, which is a blistering agent produced by the beetle and as a defense mechanism. If horses consume blister beetles in the high enough quantities, it may exhibit the following symptoms. Sores or blisters on the tongue, in the mouth, colic, straining, increased temperature, depression, increased heart and respiratory rates, dehydration, sweating, diarrhea, bloody feces, and frequent urination. Said ruminant, the doc says the ruminant livestock, such as cattle and goats, can also be affected by blister bugs, but not as severely as horses. And from my studies in the last 4 or 5 years on that, goats and cattle have to eat a ton of it for them to get it, but that's not saying that it won't affect them. Scouting alfalfa along field borders for beetles before the hay is baled can save a horse's life. He said the insects are notorious for swarming and are known to congregate, and that's what I call colonies of blister bugs, and I have videos of them, and they're not pretty, I'm telling you. They're most active in the summer, and when a swarm is present, the ground will appear to move. And that's no joke. We receive reports of hay meadows and grass pastures that are infested, even areas around barns where people keep livestock. They are attracted to the flowering structures of certain weeds. So if you can control the weeds, the better chance of reducing beetles in your area. And as I've learned, you really don't see blister bugs in your alfalfa unless it's in the bloom stage. That's not saying you won't see any in there before they bloom, but that's what they're after. Hay most often becomes contaminated with blister bugs when the insects are crushed in alfalfa, when the swather, you swath them, the beetles are killed by the crimper and become trapped in the hay, and that remains. Blister beetles may can be concentrated in a small portion of the hay, but not all of it. But do you remember which bale it's in? Yeah, so I didn't think so. Beetles are also killed and trapped when forage is driven on before the beetles have time to escape. If left alone, the vast majority of the blister beetles will leave the alfalfa in a short period of time before cutting. Cutting without using crimpers, avoiding travel, wheel travel, and freshly cut alfalfa are two of the best ways to avoid problems. OSU's extension fact sheet on blister bugs, what I call them, but technically they're beetles, advises alfalfa producers to take the following measures to avoid blister beetles in the hay. Spray entire fields with a short residue insecticide just before harvesting. Spray the fence rows and field borders as well. The only thing I got a problem with that is you're still going to kill them in the field if you do that before harvesting the hay. So best thing is just to let them go. Just let them get out of there. They will move on. That bunch last week that I stepped out into in my lot down there by Willow, I ain't kidding you. You wanted to see a red ant and yellow wasp dance mixed in one human being. That was me when I stepped out. I started doing that dance. And it might have worked because we got some rain down there later that week. Inspect fields shortly before cutting and spray only in the infested areas if any are found. Said treating fields for grasshoppers early as possible in the spring can reduce beetle numbers. As you guys remember last week, Mr. Dan Cook, OSU Extension educator from Roger Mills County up there at Cheyenne, said that they just come back from a conference, and the reason why it looks like our blister beetle bugs are up this year is because the grasshopper numbers are up, and it's not all areas, just certain areas, and the blister beetles are attracted to the grasshopper lava. So if you can control the grasshoppers or the weeds, if you can control the weeds around your edge of the fields, the less grasshoppers you're more than likely going to have. The size of a grasshopper population can be a sign of next season's blister beetle infestation. While there's no way to completely eliminate the possibility of blister beetles in alfalfa, the best approach is to management to take all precautions you can to reduce the likelihood that they are present. Learn how to safely purchase alfalfa hay that is free and clear of blister beetles, and more about beetle infestations on OSU Fact Check. There you go. Anyway, I was being bad. I have bales of straw for $10 a bale. Oh, okay. So my gentleman that had the $300 a bale for straw, he actually will sell them for $10 a bale. If you're interested in them, here's his number: 719-354-6789. And I will recommend you go get those bales of straw because they're great for your gardens. If you haven't, it's getting late in the year, but it's not that late. Anyway, you can save them for next year. But anyway, that's a good price on it. Anyway, 719-354-6789 if you would like to buy some bales of straw. He does not want $300 a bale. He'd take that if you'll offer it to him. But anyway, he said $10 a bale, and there you go. Anyway, that's good. I'm glad you were just kidding. I know you was kidding. If you're getting $300 a bale, I have about 20 rye bale straws, bales of straw that I'll sell out. Okay, next question is, when is a plant a weed? Ralph Waldo Emerson was a giant of an American. Not so much in actual physical height, but instead in recognition of his mastery of poetry. That said, I can't say that I have a lot of respect for him when it comes to his comprehension of things green, growing, and natural. Johnson Grass was brought over from Turkey in 1840. And you guys know that. And they brought it over to South Carolina. It was a big mistake, they said. Johnson Grass is a vile weed in Oklahoma. And as you guys know, it's everywhere. But it can be friendly at times. So anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. You guys have a great day. Be careful out there. Stay cool. Check your water. Take care of your animals. This is Jimmy Clark. God bless.
The biggest songs from the biggest stars.
Rick on me.
KECO, Elk City.
China doesn't like...